After Peter sinned and repented, did Christ and all the risen Christ call him the third and last time, "Follow me"? What am I saying? A vocation comes from God. However, it is one thing to receive a vocation, which means the grace. It is something else, first of all, to recognize with my mind that I have a vocation. Secondly, even after I think I have a vocation, my vocation must be tested, must be tried, must be proved. Thirdly, having been called and my vocation is proved, I then must make a commitment to my vocation. Two wills are involved in every vocation: the will of God who calls and the human will of the one called. I must want, and the verb is I must want, to respond to the call. And then, having responded to the call, I must make a final, and I call it commitment. The English word vow is the Latin word votum, V-O-T-U-M. Votum is the what we call the perfect passive participle of the verb to will. To will in Latin is vele. I will in Latin is volo. But here it, that which is willed is called the votum. Our vows are that which we will twice over, which we will first by choosing, and then which we will, and for the third time, I repeat the verb, that which we have chosen, to which we bind ourselves. In other words, it is not enough to receive the call or the vocation. It is not even enough to choose to follow Christ as the apostles did. Those who receive the vocation must make a vow, a votum, which means that I bind myself. I bind my will to choose and continue choosing until I enter eternity. Sisters, there would not be the crisis of the Catholic Church, which not I, but the modern popes consider the most serious in the history of Christianity, the crisis. I'm bold to say The main reason for that crisis is that those who had been called by Christ to the episcopate, called by Christ to the priesthood, called by Christ to the religious life, and bound themselves to follow Christ, remain faithful to Him until death, went back on their vows. Every single crisis in the Catholic Church, no exceptions, every crisis in the Church has been, I would use the word, caused by bishops, priests, and religious going back on their vows. In England, in the 16th century, with the lecherous Henry VIII, was bewitched by his mistress, Anne Boleyn. He decided, I better somehow justify my, removing my wife Catherine from my life. He appealed to the Pope, kept appealing, give me a declaration of nullity. Tell me that my marriage to Catherine was not valid. The Pope knew Henry VIII. He studied Henry's marriage. Told back to Henry, sorry, no way. What did Henry do? He turned to the bishops of England. How many bishops remained faithful to the Pope and told Henry, you cannot leave Catherine, your lawful wife, and marry your mistress, Anne Boleyn. How many bishops remained faithful? How many? One. Who knows the bishop's name? John Fisher. What diocese? Rochester. And sisters, I'm not being taped. I discussed it with your superiors about taping the retreat. If I had insisted, we could have taped. But they said, Father, we think we'd better not to tape. Thanks to Frank Lum, we are being amplified. Can you hear me? Not being taped. What advantage is I can say things to you I will not want others to hear. The Catholic Church is in trouble in one country after another because of unfaithful bishops. And well, I know, 30 years in working for the Holy See, my main responsibility for 30 years is dealing with bishops. I'll never forget, let's make it 12 years ago. Mother was in New York. I was then teaching in New York City. Mother and I had a meeting with Cardinal O'Connor of New York Archdiocese. We talked, the three of us, and I told him, Your Eminence, what I think the United States needs is more bishops like St. John Fisher.